Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, April 6th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Sandra Nyaira. Among our top stories this evening, civil servants representatives say the government is playing games with them as it continues to skip important meetings to discuss their welfare.
Back pay, the increments with effect from January are going to be effected this April. Civil servants are not looking forward to any further postponements beyond April. They are just looking forward to adjusting their budget.
Gospel musician Tembalami takes the United States by storm with some shows lined up in a number of cities. And as usual, we bring you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Civil servant representatives are fuming that the government is taking them for granted following its failure to attend a crucial meeting last week Thursday with the Apex Council. The meeting was expected to discuss the government employees' salary increments that the government has so far failed to effect, citing financial difficulties. Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe General Secretary Raymond Majongwe tells Studio 7 the government is playing games with its employees as it continues to skip important meetings. Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani, however, says the unions should give the government more time to see what it can come up with.
Yes, there was a meeting which was scheduled for Thursday last week, a very important meeting of the Joint Negotiating Council, which was supposed to meet and receive an update from government in terms of its readiness to implement the agreement that we signed in order to increase the salaries of civil servants in this country with effect from January 2014. Unfortunately, the meeting could not take off, and we understood the reasons, and we are looking forward to sitting in this meeting sometime early next week. It is important that this meeting be convened at the earliest possible time, because now is April, and everybody was talking about April from the beginning of the year, from the time we signed an agreement. Initially, civil servants were expecting to get an increment in February, but this was not to be. And then it was all over in the media, promises by the ministers that the same increment was going to be paid in April. So this is April, and it is important that this meeting be convened. It is important that a clear position be affirmed during the meeting, a position to the effect that these payments, the back pay, the increments with effect from January are going to be effected this April. Civil servants are not looking forward to any further postponements beyond April. They are just looking forward to adjusting their budget so that they buy additional items. They are looking forward to budgeting increased sums of money, and nobody is looking at any further excuses on the part of government. So that meeting must be convened.
Some Apex members are saying that the government is buying time by avoiding such meetings.
Yes, they are right to say that, because a lot of talking has been taking place, but no action on the ground.
That was Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani on the line from Harare with Jonga Kandemiri. This is Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm glad to have one of the alumni of the President Obama Young African Leaders Initiative. Today, I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Sydney Chisi. Sydney, thank you so much for joining me.
How are you, Tatenda?
I am doing good. How are you?
And thanks for telling the world that I'm your good friend. I thought you were a long lost friend.
No, you know what? We're good friends. So you should be happy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, sure. Thank you for inviting me.
Sydney, you're the director of the Youth Initiative for Democracy. And of course, you came here in 2010 to participate in the YALI program. Tell me how your experience was.
I think to start off with, it was quite overwhelming to find yourself just a mere village boy being invited to come and meet the world's most powerful man, President Barack Obama. And besides that excitement, you are also in a space where you begin to meet different young people doing amazing things, stretching from South Africa to Cairo, stretching from Mombasa to Niger. You know, it was quite an experience that we thought it was equally life-changing. But also coming back home after such an experience, you don't want to lose the momentum that you would have gained from such kind of an experience. And it has been amazing, I tell you.
So talking to people like Cleopatra, I got to speak to Masimba, I've spoken to Limbikani, you guys all took something very different from the times you were here. For you, what was the main thing that you took from the program?
For me, I think my interaction in the program was one around issues of elections, also around issues of political economy, but also around the involvement of Zimbabwe State with other African young people. You meet young people from Western Africa, and they would not, the things that they would say about Zimbabwe and the things that we Zimbabweans would say about ourselves were totally different. And if you look at the work that we began to do when we came back was to begin to get experiences of how young people in other countries have organized themselves around issues of governance in their own countries, but also issues of using different technologies, especially the use of social media in mobilizing young people to go and participate in democratic processes.
Did your organization come out of this experience, or was it also something you obviously were thinking of doing?
Not exactly, because at the end of the day, what we did was there was a platform which was formed by different young people in Africa of the alumni from the YALI program, and that platform still exists. Actually, there will be a meeting in April in Addis Ababa where some of the young people who attended the 2010 initiative will be meeting, learn experiences of what they have done ever since we last met in the White House.
Now, on a lighter note, how was your cultural experience when you were here? I like to believe that, you know, I always think that people are closer because of social media, and, you know, you can kind of exchange, you know, your lives and what's going on. How was the cultural experience for you when you made it here to the States?
The cultural experience, I think it was, for me, it was not really, it wasn't much of a culture shock, given that I had been to the United States twice before I came in 2010. But what was amazing was the connectivity that came out. You know, naturally, we found ourselves as Zimbabweans connecting with people from the region because of our socialization, but also because of our geographical location. So we made very good friends with people who came from South Africa, from Swaziland, and from Botswana. We made very few friends from French-speaking people because also they kind of tagged together in that respect. But beyond that, those relationships managed to manifest themselves, and we began to relate even at institutional level, such that we could even invite some of them to come and speak to our forums.
And of course, now as the application process, I think it's over for 2014. But what's your message, I guess, to those out there who might either, you know, want to do this program but might feel intimidated by the application process? And then also those who are very interested in how they can go about, you know, and then maybe the next time around to get assistance in doing this program?
I think the application to come for YALI really is at two levels. You know, it's about what is motivating you to make that application. Is it about going to the United States and meet President Barack Obama? Or is it because of what is your inner feeling about the work that you do in terms of transforming and changing the lives of young people that you work with? And if your motivation is of the latter, description, then it would mean that even if you don't make it through this application, your work itself, whether you're in the United States or you've been to the United States or not, will always speak for itself. And leadership is not made by being in different places. Leadership is something that you nurture within yourself so that you begin to respond to critical issues. For us, we had a context that allowed us to participate in, and that context was a country going through a transition. I would also encourage young people to understand, to say, what is the trajectory that we are faced with right now, and what are the initiatives that they need to build so as to respond to that dispensation that they find themselves in.
My good friend Sydney, thank you so much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thanks, Tatenda. Hey.
And make sure you join me again next week as we continue to talk to young Zimbabweans who participated in this program to find out where are they now. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next time.
In sports news, the Zimbabwe National Boxing Board of Control has withdrawn the license of Delta Force Boxing Trust, the only operational boxing promotion company in the country. Reporter Michael Kariati gives us the details.
The rules that govern boxing in Zimbabwe are clear, that a promoter wants to stage a fight or a tournament has to pay a sanction fee of $300. On November 2 last year, Delta Force Boxing Trust staged a local tournament at the City Sports Center in Harare to replace the aborted World Boxing Union bantamweight title fight between Zimbabwe's Tapiwa Tembo and Zambia's Gibson Kamota. According to information at hand, the promoters promised to pay the Zimbabwe National Boxing Board of Control the $300 sanction fee after the tournament. But the Secretary General of the Boxing Controlling Body, Gilbert Munetsi, says 4 months down the line, the promoters have not yet honored their promise, and efforts to have them pay have yielded no results.
Promised to pay this money soon after the tournament, but they failed to fulfill this promise. We wrote them a letter, pay up that money. They also did not do anything.
Munetsi says after countless appeals to the promoters, the boxing board had no option but to cancel Delta Force's license as they had not followed laid down rules.
Sat down as a board and resolved that we are cancelling Delta Force Boxing Trust's license.
The boxing supremo says even if they are to pay the sanctions fee, it will not be a foregone conclusion that Delta Force will have their license renewed.
You know, there's an element of being bullish on the part of Delta Force, so it all depends.
However, Clyde Musonda of Delta Force has laughed off the suspension, saying his company would appeal against the license withdrawal as there was a break in communication, adding that they are willing to pay their dues. He says he has not been able to respond to communication from the board because he has been in and out of the country as he was busy helping Zambia's Oriental Boxing Promotions in organizing Charles Manyuchi's World Boxing Council International Bantamweight title. Musonda claims he has been moving around the country with Manyuchi, trying to mobilize support for the Zimbabwean ahead of the world title fight, in which he was supported by many Zimbabweans who traveled to Lusaka by bus. Musonda, a former All-Africa Games medalist, is a Zambian national based in Zimbabwe and is close to Manyuchi's promoter Christopher Malunga. The suspension of Delta Force comes after Zimbabwe failed to find a promoter to bankroll the World Boxing Federation Intercontinental Heavyweight title fight between Zimbabwe's South Africa-based Elvis Moyo and Zambia's Francis Galakata Zulu. The World Boxing Federation had offered Moyo the chance to defend his title in Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thank you very much, Michael. Just to tell all you sports lovers that we will give you a comprehensive report tomorrow on all the sporting events, including the English Premier League and our own PSL, which started this weekend. And now we go to entertainment, where we are looking at a story about grief. Grief is always difficult to deal with. Joy Mutare Fashu Kanu, a Zimbabwean based in the United States, overcame her grief by listening to gospel musician Tembelami following her mother's death. due to cancer in Zimbabwe. Touched by his music, Kanu invited Tembelami to the United States, where she will next weekend launch the Constance Sitwale Scholarship Fund in honor of her mother at the Syracuse University in Upper State, New York. The event will be hosted under the theme Blessed to be a Blessing, celebrating the motherland. Akanu said she was motivated by the need to help her fellow Zimbabweans who are in need of school fees or struggling to cope with HIV/AIDS and related needs. Her mother, a retired teacher, fostered education and supported orphaned children infected with HIV until she passed away. Now she has invited Tembelami to help her launch that trust. Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye reached out to Tembelami to hear about his visit to the U.S. and related issues.
I'm here to partner with an organization called It Takes a Village Incorporated. They fundraise for children that are affected by HIV and AIDS, who have lost parents, and they take care of the orphans and provide them with school fees and clothes and groceries. So that's the organization that I'm working with. But also I'm raising awareness for organizations like Twisted Respite Care Home, Chidamwe Hospital, the Cancer Association of Zimbabwe. These are organizations that I speak for when I'm in Zimbabwe. I do awarenesses for them, and I also do fundraisers for them. So wherever I go, I carry them with me.
While on tour here in the United States, which places have you visited, and what kind of reception did you receive?
We've been to Boston. We met with a Zimbabwe fellowship there, and the reception was quite amazing. They also wanted us to come back again, and also in New Jersey and as well as in Brooklyn. And we are also going back to New Jersey. We also extended our stay here with another week so that we can be able to do more events. And they were so excited, and they're already fundraising for Twisted Respite as we speak. So I'm actually excited that they found the work that we are doing to be something that's worth supporting.
You're a gospel singer yourself. Have you had an opportunity to actually perform at some of these places that you visited?
Mostly what we do is we speak as well as perform. So most of all of these that I've spoken about are events that I've been singing at, as well as speak about the social issues that I'm passionate about. So all of them is in North Carolina. I'll be singing there on Saturday and on Sunday.
Out of all the songs that you've performed so far, which one has been the fan favorite?
One of the favorite is a song from my debut album, Trading My Sorrows, Tom Rubin's a medley, that has been well received.
Can you give us a snippet of that?
Oh, okay. Dosi ya marwazo angu, dosi ya ndichitora mufaro washe.
Going back to that song, what message are you conveying? What are you hoping the audience gets from this song?
Oh, what I'm saying is I'm trading my sorrows and I'm trading my sickness for the joy of the Lord. Like sometimes we get depressed and sometimes we look at our situations and we feel like this is the end. But God always is an answer, and wherever there's a test, there's a testimony. So that's my message, to inspire, to, you know, encourage someone.
Very inspiring. That was gospel musician Tembelami speaking with Studio 7 reporter Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye. That was the music of Tembelami, Trading My Sorrows. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, April 6th, 2014. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Sitandekile Mhlanga, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a blessed week ahead. Good night, Zimbabwe.